Sometimes the fun begins when the paved road ends. Chevy Silverado 2500 HD is made to work hard and play hard on the road or off. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for details and experience life in HD.
I'm sad that the Blackhawks lost, but I will always be a Blackhawks fan, no matter what. Come on, how can we argue with all the success that we've had over these years? It's been a lot of fun, right?
Here come the Hawks, the mighty Blackhawks.
That'll be next year. Hi, everybody. Lou Manfredini here, the Mr. Fix-It Show on 720 WGN. This hour of the Mr. Fix-It Show is sponsored by Ace Hardware and by Santa Seal. Hope you all had a nice Easter. We had a nice time away last week. As we were flying back, Sam, we were sitting in the Orlando airport, and I fly a lot of American Airlines because I don't like getting dragged off of planes. And so we were there with my wife, and Max was coming back with us. And in Orlando, American Airlines has just opened up a brand new Admirals Club, which is kind of a weird design. But anyway, there's an upstairs and a downstairs. And we were sitting there waiting for our flight. And my wife, I said, oh, do you want me to get you something, a drink? And she said, oh, how about a club soda with a lime? So I went downstairs to the bar. And as I'm getting my club soda and the lime, sitting at the end of the bar all by himself, Rocky Wirtz.
Really?
Yeah.
In Orlando?
Just sitting there. Rocky Wirtz. Lovely man. I had met him once before, and I introduced myself to him. He was just minding his own business, and we chatted a little bit. I found out that he's actually listens to this show on Saturday mornings. Isn't that nice? And he loves going to the hardware store. How can you not love a man that loves to go to the hardware store?
Did he have a suit on?
He did.
He's always in a suit. I think he sleeps in a suit.
He's a handsome man. And we had a lovely conversation, and I said, man, I go, I hope we get out of this. You know, it was right before game four. It was the day before. And he goes, I think we're going to do it. I mean, obviously, we all thought we were going to do it, right?
Guilty.
But just a terrific guy. Just nice to meet him and just a really – and then what was really sweet when we get to the airport, I don't want to let in on Rocky Wirtz secrets, but he was waiting for his bag, as we were. And we'd said goodbye, and I wasn't bothering him. And there were these little kids who were also off the flight. And this one little kid is probably 10 years old. He knows who this guy – he knows this is Rocky Wirtz. There's like four or five kids. And the little boy kind of makes his way – and I'm watching him. He makes his way, kind of steps towards Mr. Wirtz, and then he kind of chickens out and he backs away. You know, and he comes back again, kind of, you know, like a fish, like that's smelling the bait on the hook. And finally, he kind of walks up, and he's like, hi, Mr. Wirtz, I'm Jimmy, and I love the Blackhawks, you know, and he shakes his hand, and couldn't have been more welcoming. And then all the kids show up, and he's saying hello, and I'm like, how awesome is that? You know, you own this team that is so beloved in this town.
So cute.
And he revitalized it.
Right. And so it was really sweet. He was very, very kind to these kids, and it was just a fun little moment that to capture and to see. So anyway, thank you, Blackhawks. It's a bummer. It's a bummer. But hey, we got baseball now, right? And the Bulls. That's a surprising story right there, right? 312-981-7200 is our phone number. This is the Mr. Fix-It Show. We got a lot coming up on today's show. We're going to talk. Do you love camo? Then you're going to love our Noodaloo too.
Do you love
camo and appliances?
What,
then you're going to love. I mean, imagine that is like a marriage made in heaven. And then have you ever heard about Makerspace? I really have a problem with this whole Makerspace thing.
Oh.
I do.
You wanted to talk to him.
I know.
Okay.
But the problem is, as I read through the information, mm-hmm. I feel like I have to be involved.
That does not surprise me.
I know. So if you've never heard of the term Makerspace, well, we're going to talk about that in a little bit, about 8:30 this morning, and what that means. Veronica, you have any idea what Makerspace is?
Makerspace, but I like the sound of it.
Yeah, well, you're like a maker. You would be the perfect candidate, Veronica, for the Makerspace, right, Linz? Making your candles,
mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, Sam, have you lit your candle yet that Veronica's given you?
Which candle?
Mm-hmm. Lindsay, have you lit the candle? Are you burning the candle?
Sadly, not.
Did they close the Speedway by your house?
I asked for buttered popcorn.
Step into the newsroom and pick out your own scent. There's a whole new box of them in here.
Fresh
batch.
Wow.
It is very hard to predict what kind of scent someone will like.
I want motor oil.
I don't have any motor oil scents.
I want motor oil.
I actually have had a candle from her before. I bought one years ago.
And it really?
Smells. And it smells. I don't have it anymore. It's gone. But
Veronica, we need to do something with your candles that we get people to buy them for charity or something like that.
I have done things like that before, and I'm perfectly willing to make
even just a small batch, like a little small batch. Then when we go, like next week, I mean, it's too late now because next week we're doing a Fox Home Center remote. Where I'm going to have all these people, and we're like, hey, who wants to make a donation to X?
Exactly.
And you get Veronica Scents. Veronica Makes Scents candles.
I am all over that.
This one smells like motor oil. This one smells like cut grass.
I can do the cut grass.
Ooh, I love cut grass.
Cut grass, right?
I can do fresh cut grass, but motor oil, I don't know if they make that scent.
I'm the son of a mechanic, so the motor oil thing would like be a, ooh, I remember
I don't
being
know if
king.
I could mix motor oil in it, because then when you light the
right,
candle,
like
it,
an
yeah.
inferno.
they have a candle just called Dirt.
Sure.
They have fresh car smell, car smell.
You know, the people, Dave Thompson's organic farm, we could have one that smells like chicken poop.
I'm thinking
big seller.
Big seller. You know, out there at Pearl Valley Farm or where is it? Whatever it's called. What's it called? Pearl Valley, Illinois?
Pearl Valley.
Right? Something
why don't you ask your wife if she will let me make the candles at your house then?
Okay. Let me see what I can do about that. Let's talk to Bob in Tinley Park. Bob, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Lou. How are you doing today?
I'm good. How can I help you, sir?
Well, I was calling because I've had some issues with my AC. It's gotten, it just isn't pushing out any air. And I took a look at my filter, saw it was plugged up. Thought it was pecorino in there for a minute. And I was just wondering, besides my filter, what else can I do to get my AC working the way it should?
When you say it's not, in other words, the blower motor's running.
Yeah.
You can feel airflow coming out of the vents.
Yeah, but it's not as
cold
as it should be.
Yeah, so the volume of air or the temperature of the air?
Both.
Okay. One other question is, it's a conventional system, right, where you have a condensing unit outside?
Yes, that's correct.
And that unit, that condensing unit, as far as you know, is running?
Yes.
Okay. Based on what you personally can do, if it's not cold enough, then you got to get an HVAC guy to come out and take a look at it, because it could be a problem with a leak in refrigerant. It could be an issue with the blower motor itself. If you're saying that the volume there is down, that maybe some control board is not allowing the motor to run at the right speed. You're down in Tinley Park. So couple people you could call. You could call Dykstra Home Services, who's down that way on the south side. And I think American Weathermakers probably goes down there as well, but you could check with them as well to get a service call to see if they could come out and check it all out for you. Better to call them now when temperatures are temperate, because when it gets really hot, it's going to be hard to schedule these folks because everything's going to be failing. They're going to be so busy on service calls. So Dykstra Home Services, they're down on the south side. And you can also call American Weathermakers because I believe they'll go down there as well. All right, quick break, and we'll be back right after this. I'm going to take a quick call before we go to news. Here's Scott in Sublette. Hey, Scott, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Lou, how are you?
Good,
great
man.
To talk to you.
Yeah, what's up? What's going on?
So I heard you talk about this once before. Solid surface sink around the drain, almost like spider veins reaching out in all directions. And I thought I heard you say, this is kind of like, I don't know if you remember a product, obviously Corian.
Yeah.
This is called, I think it was Swanstone. It was kind of a knockoff of, solid surface.
But it is a solid surface.
Yes, correct.
Okay.
So I thought I heard you talk about like using a little sandpaper.
Emery cloth.
Maybe. Okay.
I want you to go to the hardware store, get a little emery cloth, and then, you know, in a perfect world, Scott, you would disconnect. Is it a kitchen sink or a vanity?
Yes, kitchen.
Kitchen. Okay. In a perfect world, you'd take the drain assembly off if you don't want to do that. Just because when you go with the emery cloth, you will hit the drain assembly and you'll scratch that up.
Gotcha.
You just will, because you're going to need a little bit of pressure on there. If you take that drain assembly apart, do you have a disposal or is it just a drain?
No, it's just a drain.
Single sink or double sink?
Double, but it's only on the one side.
Okay. So, in a perfect world, you'd take that drain assembly apart. Take the emery cloth and just work your way around evenly and just light coats all the way around in a circular motion. You'll eliminate those spider cracks. It'll look great. Put the drain assembly back in, and you're good to go.
Or you don't have to, like, refinish it, put
done.
You know, urethane or anything on it?
Nope, done. That color you see on the top is the color you see on the bottom. You're just getting a little separation at the top where that water sits. It's very common, and you can bring it back to life just by doing that with sandpaper. Maybe finish it off with a little Scotch-Brite pad, but it should work out just fine.
And now back to Lou.
You used to call me on my...
And the Mr. Fix-It Show.
You used to.
On Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Yeah.
Yep.
You used to call me on my cell phone. Late night when you need my...
Who is this? Drake?
Yes, very good. Look at you, Mr.
And teenage kids.
And I know when that...
312-981-7200 is our phone number. John's in Park Ridge. Hi, John.
Hi, Lou. How are you?
I'm good, sir. How are you doing today?
Wonderful.
What's on your list of to-dos today?
calling you.
Well, then, so far you've accomplished that. How can I help you?
Well, my daughter and I bought a house in Pittsburgh, built in 1920, and we're doing a complete rehab on it.
Wow.
And one of the things that we discovered was that there's no subfloor underneath the oak flooring.
It's nailed it's nailed right to the joist.
That's correct.
Yep.
So we have a problem now because we've got all the ceilings out on the first floor, and we're getting ready to drywall.
Can I stop you for a second? This is a first floor.
The problem is on the second floor.
And are those pine floors or are they oak?
They're all oak.
Okay.
So the problem was that their dog spilled a ball of water on the second floor, and it leaked through all the way down to the subfloor, which we've laid on in the first floor. And we're trying to figure out how we can prevent any further water leakage onto the new ceiling that we're getting ready to install on the first floor.
Okay. All right, so you have a second floor that's finished already.
All done.
And why does the and does the dog is it a two is it a two flat?
It's a single family home.
Right.
Two bedrooms on the second floor.
And so are we worried is there a reason why the dog bowl needs to be up there?
That was just the incident that revealed the flaw.
Yeah, right.
They're just worried that any kind of water spillage on the second floor will ruin the ceiling on the first floor.
You're right. Yeah. I mean, I don't want a vapor barrier because you're going to transfer the heat up there. You want a little heat loss. You want a little.
Yeah, that was my first thought, was putting in some type of a vapor barrier.
Yeah, but I don't want you to do that, not in that situation, because you have you have heating on both sides of the vapor barrier. It's going to trap moisture. This is a tough one, John, because without the subfloor to give you a little bit of, I mean, you know, even with a subfloor, if you spilled a fair amount of water on there, you would still come through.
Right.
But I see what you're saying, like coming out of the, maybe not coming out of the shower and then walking in the hallway or something like that. dry yourself off. But I don't know that. I guess the only thing that I could tell you to do on the ceiling that may make sense is to use some type of moisture guard drywall there as opposed to standard drywall.
Okay.
So if you used green board up there on the ceiling, you know, it finishes just like regular drywall, but it's a little bit more forgiving with the backing and the density of the gypsum inside there to buy you a little time. But again, a major spill, even that, is going to be a problem.
Yeah, yeah.
It's interesting that there's no subfloor. What's the age of the house?
It was built right. We figure right about 1920. Huh. It was a quick build house for workers in Pittsburgh,
right.
And they did it. They cut a lot of corners.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, typically in a house that age, it would be you would have 1x6 as a subfloor. And then the wood, the hardwood, if they were going to use that up there, would be nailed onto the top of that. So you'd have a little bit of, but that's, you're right. That was done quickly as a fix. Are you building, I'm just curious if you don't mind sharing, are you building it to rent? Is your daughter going to live in it?
No, my daughter is, they're currently living in it now because of the second floor is all finished.
Oh, got it. Got it.
And so this is the, you know, we're doing the electrical this weekend,
right.
And the drywall will go up.
Right, right. I mean, you know, you could, how is the home heated?
We put in a brand new Lennox HVAC system.
So forced air.
Forced air, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you could technically insulate the floor, but, and then the, you know, the insulation would catch some of the moisture, but again, that can lead to a mildew and mold issue down the line.
Right, yeah. We'd thought about possibly putting some cork liner up there that would, you know, maybe absorb it. But, again, that would create a mold issue as well.
Yeah, I'm worried about you trapping any moisture in that cavity. I would consider using some green board.
Okay.
All right. It's
a
little heavier to do. Are you guys doing that work as well?
My daughter and her boyfriend are very, very good. They've been doing most all the work themselves.
Wow. All
right, I helped them rip out one floor, and that was it for me.
I hear you, my friend. Well, good luck with the project. If you need any more advice, you keep calling back, okay?
All right. Thanks very much, Lou.
Thanks, John. I appreciate you calling this morning. 7:45 in the morning. This is the Mr. Fix-It Show on 720 WGN. My name's Lou Manfredini. We'll be back right after this. 7:50 in the morning. It's time now for our Noodaloo 2. Do you like camo?
Yes.
Do you like appliances?
Yes.
Well, this week's Noodaloo 2 is sponsored by Dave Thompson's Organic Healthy Grow Fertilizers, and here's more about that.
When I first saw this week's Noodaloo 2, I thought, now who would buy that? But after doing a little research on this stuff, boy, was I wrong. If you're an outdoor enthusiast, or maybe you know one, you're just going to want to tune in here. Magic Chef Appliances has teamed up with the Real Tree line, featuring items perfect for the cabin, man cave, pickup truck, and anywhere one entertains. This stuff was just released, and it includes appliances needed for the home kitchen, to host a party, or to store big game from the hunt. Coming from the vegetarian. Poor little Bambi. All right, I've got some facts for you. According to a 2011 U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service National Survey, there are more than 42 million hunters and anglers, and they spend nearly $29.5 billion annually on gear, including camo. But hunting gear isn't the only category where camo is king. Over 1,500 licensees offer Realtree branded merchandise on more than 19,000 products worldwide, making Realtree the market share leader with the soaring sales of $4 billion last year. That is crazy. How did I not know any of this being from Wisconsin? Some of the Magic Chef appliances that feature this Realtree camo include a portable freezer, a countertop ice maker, a compact refrigerator, a chest freezer, a meat grinder, food dehydrator, coffee maker, meat slicer, deep fryer, and toaster. I mean, come on,
I would do the toaster
set for the season,
right? I would do the toaster,
and I like the portable like the mini fridge.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of cool. Yeah. For more information, you can visit magicchef.com, or I will put pictures up on your Facebook page. That's this week's New to Lou and Lindsay. too.
Very nice. Yeah. When we were sent this information, you were like, are you interested? You'll usually send me a... you'll usually send me an email with stuff that gets pitched to you versus me, and I think it came to you first. And I can almost read the way you spell it. You just say interested with a question mark. And I can almost, when I read it, you know how people can read into emails? Yeah. I'm like, it's weird. I'm like scrolling down. I'm going, oh, yeah, this is big. And you're like, really? Isn't it amazing?
No. Yes.
The amount of money that gets spent on that stuff.
Right.
Right. You know my friend Mike Jakubowski?
I do.
He has this gigantic, giant, long Dodge truck. Mm-hmm. It's like a four-door work truck that he bought. And he's a huge outdoorsman, duck hunter, whatever. And he's been talking about buying a new truck. You know what kind of truck I'm trying to get him to buy? Chevy Silverado.
Of course.
This truck, you know, it runs. It's great. And we were talking. I go, don't sell the truck. Because he loves it for, he puts his decoys in there when he goes duck hunting and everything. And he's got like this cap. It almost looks like a utility truck. And so we've been talking about it. I go, you should just camo the whole truck.
Oh my.
You can buy stickers like you were just talking about in your piece where it fits right over. Or you could paint the whole thing and just use it as your hunting truck.
That would be something.
Cool. I'd ride around in that thing with Mike.
I would too.
Shotgun.
That'd be really fun.
Right, it's really cool. So,
put your cowboy hats on.
Right, and then we could plug in the toaster when we're out there, right? The generator and put the toaster in there. It's cool. Uh-huh. We'll put Lindsay will put all the information up on our Facebook page if you want to learn more about it. It's a neat thing. If you're going to buy an appliance, like you're going to send these kids off to college coming up, send them with a camo mini fridge.
It's a great conversation.
Right?
Starter.
What's that? You're like, where's the fridge? I don't know. I can't see it. It's camouflage. 7:54 in the morning. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Mary is in Chicago. Hi, Mary. You're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning.
How can I help you?
We have a garage that's been cedar-sided and a cedar fence. And it's been there a long time, and it needs restaining. Which is what we did when we started. And we went to the paint, one of the stores, and they said that you can no longer buy the oil-based stain. You can get the transparent stain, but not anything with a color. And
really?
That's what they told us. And even so, we don't know if this is true or not.
Where do you, Mary, where do you live in Chicago?
Northwest Side.
Mary, there's a hardware store on the northwest side, Edgebrook Ace Hardware, that my wife and I happen to own. And there you can buy oil-based stain to put on your cedar siding. As a matter of fact, you can buy the best stain money can buy, as far as I'm concerned, called Penafin at that particular Ace Hardware store.
It's
and
cool.
Many Ace Start Hardware stores across the Chicagoland area. P-E-N... O-F-I-N.
O-F-I-N. Okay, well, we will go. I know where it's located.
All right, don't ever go back to that paint store again, because that is like a complete fabrication of the truth. I don't know why people say that kind of stuff.
Well, they said it was a Chicago ordinance or something. I don't know.
Well, let me tell you, the city of Chicago is putting a lot of ordinances to make it hard to live in the city, but they haven't passed that one yet.
That one yet, okay.
So hurry up before they do, and when you come, make sure you bring your own bag.
Oh, okay. Oh yes, definitely. How do we prep this? We have there's some algae growing on the bottom and whatever. Will a power wash be okay?
Yeah. I'll tell you what, if you were going to... if you've got a little of that, when are you going to do this work?
Probably another month or so.
Okay, here's what I would do. When you go to the store, I want you to also buy a bottle of Wet and Forget.
Oh, okay.
And I want you to spray that lower area with the Wet and Forget, like this weekend.
Okay.
Then, a week before you're going to do this, I want you to pressure wash it all. And then where that algae is, that'll all be dead anyway after you do the Wet and Forget. But you'll get it all prepped and clean, let it dry. Apply this stain with a brush. It's going to look fantastic.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Mary. Have a great day. I appreciate you calling this morning. It's 7:57 in the morning. Don't go away.
Stop. Oh, yeah. Wait a minute, Mr. Fix-It. Wait, yeah, Mr. Fix-It.
It's Let's talk to Keith and Joliet. Hey, Keith, you're on WGN. Good morning.
How you doing, Lou? I had a guy come out and give me a quote for new shingles on the roof. He's telling me that they're soft spot, but not to worry for a couple, 3 years. Well, if they're soft now, what are they going to be in a couple, 3 years? We're going to have mashed potatoes up there in 3 years.
That's right. And if they're garlic mashed, I'm coming over.
Now back to your host, Mr. Fix-It himself, Lou Manfredini, 720 WGN.
I do like the garlic mashed potatoes. 8:10 in the morning. This hour, the Mr. Fix-It Show is sponsored by wetandforget.com, Fox Home Center, and sponsored by DykstraHomeServices.com. Speaking of Fox Home Center, you can join me for my live broadcast from Fox Home Center in Alsip next Saturday, April 29th, from 7 to 10 a.m. Enjoy a free breakfast and refreshments courtesy of Gravy in LaGrange. Plus, the first 300 attendees will get a goodie bag from Fox Home Center and their partners. We'll also be giving you the chance to win prizes throughout the show. Want more information? Visit the WGNRadio.com website/events page for more details. That's next Saturday. It's always a fun event. They always do a really nice job out there. It's a beautiful showroom. If you're thinking about remodeling, putting in a new kitchen, you need flooring, all that kind of stuff, come out and check it out. It's really nice people out there at Fox Home Center in Alsip. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. This is Bruce in Long Grove. Bruce, you're on WGN. Good morning. Hello, Bruce. There's Bruce. We'll put Bruce back on hold. And let's try Jeffrey in Johnsburg. Jeffrey?
Good morning, Lou.
How are you?
I'm fine. I'm a long-time listener, and thanks for being there.
Thank you. How can I help you, sir?
Well, my question is, I have a 1,500-square-foot asphalt driveway that's 28 years old, and I need to replace it. How do you go about picking out a good contractor for replacing the driveway, and what is the criteria of looking at what they should be doing properly?
You want to replace with asphalt?
With asphalt, correct.
Okay. So the trick is this: when you're doing any kind of paving work whatsoever, while it's important the substrate that's going to go over the top, that's going to be the finish that you're going to go on there. What's really the most important is what's underneath. So in a perfect world, you would have about 6 inches of compacted stone as a base.
Okay.
And then you want 3 inches of compacted asphalt over the top of that.
Okay.
Now, it depends on how long have you lived in that house, Jeffrey?
28 years.
Okay. So, there's a good chance you already have that kind of base that's there, and they may need to add a little bit of stone, just to kind of tidy it up a little bit. But they got to check. You know, if it's not deep enough, they may have to dig down a little bit so they can put the stone back in there and compact it. An asphalt driveway is only as good as what you put underneath it. Okay. And that's true for concrete. It's true for pavers, whatever, but it's really important with asphalt because even when that's all compacted, you know, that product it moves a little bit more than everything else. It's not like concrete where you put all the metal reinforcement in there and go to town where it can, you know, a pocket of gravel could go away and the concrete wouldn't be affected. With asphalt, it would be. So 6 inches of compacted stone, 3 inches of compacted asphalt. Edging certainly helps. I mean, sometimes they'll put kind of a feathered edge or a tamped edge, which is fine. I really like the metal edging. If they put that down first, kind of as a break point, just to give it a little more structure, you know, with the lawn or whatever it is next to it. And then as far as finding the contractors, it's tough to find residential asphalt contractors. They're up in that area. You know, if you can search them out, you're up in Johnsburg, so you could certainly also look in southeastern Wisconsin as well, because I'm sure those guys will come down to Johnsburg and do some work as well. I'd tell you to get some estimates, at least a couple, if not three. And in particular, when you're talking to these folks and they're giving you some, I did so-and-so's house and this and that, go by and take a look. And really, if you can find people that they've worked with before, maybe 3 or 4 or 5 years ago, That's the one you want to go by. See what I mean?
Makes sense.
Go look at those driveways and see how they've held up, because that'll be the telltale sign about the work that they've done. You know, the one that they did, 2 years ago, while that is a good guide as well, but it's a few years later that you want to look at. Have you heard me talk about the National Association of the Remodeling Industry?
Yes, I have.
All right. NARI.org is a place you could start your search as well, and you plug in your zip code. You should probably find a couple asphalt contractors on that website that you could call. It's a nice vetted organization, and you could start with that as a place to go look. Do me a favor. Hang on a second. We're going to send you out a Santa Seal. It's a reusable, flexible, and repositionable wax-free toilet gasket with a perfect fit every time. You can get yours at SantaSeal.com. Santa Seal. We're on with the handyman. It's Lindsay's favorite commercial. Let's get our friend Jeffrey line two a Santa Seal, please. All right, I'm going to try. I tried Bruce before, but he wasn't there. Bruce, are you there?
I'm here, Lou. Sorry, hi, Bruce. I discovered the mute button for some reason.
Oh, no problem. That happens to me all the time.
I don't believe that. You're mechanically inclined.
How can I help you?
A couple of simple questions. We just redid our hardwood floors, rather large span, after 27 years, and they came out very, very well. And we also replaced carpeting in one room with new hardwood floors. And my question is this. I don't like the sheen. I didn't get the sheen out of this that I expected, and I'm wondering, what do we use for cleaner and what do we use for polish?
You don't like the sheen, meaning it's not shiny enough or it's too shiny?
No, it's not shiny enough.
And you just had it done?
Yes. Well, 3 months ago, 4 months ago.
Well, why don't you have them come back and do one more coat?
Well, that's another issue with the provider, which he just wanted another $1,000. So I opted out.
Okay. Well, I mean, I'm gonna stop you for a second. I'm gonna stop myself, because if you just spent all this money on this floor and you're not happy with it, and all this sheen level is not gonna be where you're at, it's always gonna bother you.
Yes.
From a contractor standpoint, they got to come in, they got to put a quick screen on that floor, and they can put one coat of semi gloss over the top. What did you have them put down there? A mat?
I'm not really sure. They just sanded and they put Bona, I think, because I saw a lot of Bona.
Yeah, the traffic. But, I mean, if they put a matte finish down, they didn't test the finish? Did you have the conversation about the sheen level that you wanted?
Well, at the beginning, but not in any great detail. I just said that we wanted to, you know, bring them back and really have a nice shine to it. That's what I got.
Okay. Well, my guess is they probably used a matte finish. The Bona Traffic product is a very good product, but obviously it comes in different sheen levels. By adding one more coat of a semi right over the top, you'll get the sheen level that you want.
Okay.
Now, I don't know, how many square feet are we talking about?
Well, it's large. It goes the whole length of the house when you come in, so it's a pretty significant amount.
Okay. So if it were me, you know, I mean, I would try and negotiate a better price if you can, but I'd get the sheen level that you want. Cleaning it and getting you the right cleaner, Bona, which makes really good cleaners, is what I would tell you to use with their microfiber pads. It's what we use on our own floor, and it does a nice job.
Right.
But it'll do nothing for the sheen.
Okay.
All right. Now, there are some do-it-yourself products that you can put over the top of that. If you want to try doing this yourself, that will make the shine come back, or will give you the shine. Actually, Rejuvenate makes a urethane product that you easily mop right over the top, and it'll get you that semi-gloss finish that you want. You just clear out a room. You use their synthetic mop that they have. It goes right over the top. It will bond with the Bona product and give you that semi-gloss look you're going for.
Okay, well, you've just answered my question, because under the previous floors that were obviously in pretty bad condition, I actually used Rejuvenate, and I was very happy with the results, but I'm concerned about this being the first coat of something I'm putting down there. I want to make sure I'm not.
Well, and I mean that, and that's the thing is that you spent all this money on this right now to have it professionally done. If it were me, I would have them come back and professionally put a semi gloss over the top of that. But okay. I understand that it's an extra $1,000. You know, it's super easy for me to spend your money for you right here on the radio. But that's what I would do, and that way you're good to go, and then. You're all covered under, you know, whatever warranty this contractor is going to give you, and I think you'll just be happier long term. I appreciate the phone call. Hey, join me, Lou Manfredini, for a live broadcast event from Fox Home Center in Alsop next Saturday, April 29th, from 7 to 10 a.m. No need to pre-register. Just come on out. It's always a blast. Listeners will enjoy a complimentary breakfast and refreshments from the Tiki Bar. The first 300 listeners to attend will receive a stock goodie bag. There will be plenty of chances to win great raffle items like my pillows and Lou's Crew t-shirts. Fox Home Center has a beautiful 18,000 square foot kitchen and bath showroom. It's the best place in Chicagoland for designer grade fixtures, tile, paint, and lighting, all at affordable prices. Fox Home Center is located at 1150 South Cicero in Alsip. Plenty of parking. Mr. Fix-It Show live broadcast from Fox Home Center next Saturday is sponsored by Trex, MSI Premium Surfaces, Bain Ultra, Wilson Art Quartz, ET2 Lighting, Toto, Therma-True Doors, and Franke. For more information, go to foxhomecenter.com. We'll see you in a week from today at Fox Home Center.
I've been really trying.
The trimming of the wick and the paraffin thing is just getting me in the mood.
Hold on, let's just look for one thing.
What did we learn today, Keeney?
That I need to buy more expensive candles.
Right. And?
And trim my wick.
And trim your wick.
Let's get it on. Stuff you learn on this show. 8:24 in the morning. It'd be a great t-shirt. Listen to the Mr. Fix-It Show and trim your wick. Let's get it on. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Oh, Deanna. Deanna's on the phone line. Hi, Deanna.
Good morning, Lou. How are you?
Good. Did Lindsay, when you called in, was she all excited that you were calling from K-Town?
Yes.
Yeah, she gets very excited about anybody that calls from Kenosha. Did you go to a fish fry last night?
I did.
Ooh, where'd you go?
Well, actually, I'm in St. Germain right now. So
oh.
I went to a fish.
In St. Germain, you went to a fish fry?
Mm-hmm,
Where'd you go?
It's called Sportsman's Pub.
Is it good?
It was really good, yeah.
Oh, I love a good fish fry. I went out to dinner last night with the Smithwicks and had a version of the fish fry, but it was called sushi. Right? I ate more sushi last night than I eaten in my entire life. How can I help you?
My husband put OSB board in the garage, and we put a primer on it. But before the primer went on, the board was flaking and bubbling in spots. So now the primer's on, and you can see bubbles, and we have some really good paint to put on there, but...
Wait. He put the OSB for what, on the walls?
Yes.
So to like, finish off the walls of the garage?
Right.
Okay.
But he's not happy with the way the primer looks on the OSB board, because it's bubbling in certain spots, so he's
wondering... But you said before you put the paint on... What was bubbling? You were getting some delamination of the OSB?
I don't know what you call it. Yeah, I guess in certain spots. I don't think he saw it before we put the primer on.
You have areas where the actual board, like you could put your fingernail underneath it and peel it off.
Yes.
Now that isn't the paint, it's the actual OSB.
Correct.
Okay. So that's one issue. And then when you paint it with the primer, now the primer's bubbling too.
Right. So now we have this really good paint to put on there, but we're worried about, he wants to sand those spots down with the sander.
That's what I would do.
And then we have really good paint to put on there. So he's worried about seeing the final look is going to be kind of goofy looking, because you're going to see spots where it's sanded and spots where the OSB board, you know, that kind of look.
Well, you're going to see all that texture of the OSB, even with your paint that you put over that.
Right, and I like that look.
And you like that look. Okay.
Yeah.
So Is this happening everywhere? Is it on one board only, or is it on several of the 4x8 sheets that he put up?
They're nine-foot sheets, and it's happening on several. So I don't know if it was bad boards. At this point, it's too late to abort and go back. So
right. Well, I would scrape away. What I would do is I would scrape. You know, the OSB board has a treatment on it because it's designed for outside.
Mm-hmm.
So my guess is the reason you get the bubbling is that the paint, the primer wasn't, it was affected by the treatment on the OSB. So in those areas that you got the paint bubbling, I would just scrape that away, lightly sand it, and reprime it. See if that see if that will hold. On the areas where you have delamination from the OSB, are you going to be putting stuff in front of this wall? When you're all done, are you going to be hanging stuff and that kind of stuff?
Yeah.
Okay. Don't fret don't fret about the pieces. Don't have him sand all the OSB that's kind of peeled away a little bit, because chances are you're going to cover it up.
Yeah, the one wall that we're not going to cover, he probably will sand a lot, but it's just...
Well, then you're just going to have to do some consistent sanding, and you may even have to do a little patching with, you could use some spackle, which is fine, or some, right over the top, and then sand that in there. The thing is, it's not going to be as consistent, that look you're going for.
Right.
And then the only other thing that you could do to try and mask it is, when the paint goes on, use a thicker napped roller.
Okay.
To give a little bit go ahead.
Can you put anything in that paint when you put on, like, some kind of sand in the paint or something, an additive?
Yeah, but for a wall, I wouldn't do it.
Okay.
It's not gonna make any difference. And just put a thicker nap roller on there and go. The nice thing is it's a garage, so I think it'll look fine. Hey, hang on a second. Don't go anywhere, Deanna. We should give Deanna something from K-Town, right? You love giving things for people. How about this? You think she comes down and visits us? Let's get her an app gift card, Pleasing People Since 1936. Visit their store in Glenview or online at abt.com. It's a $50 value. 8:29 in the morning. Don't go away.
You're listening to
Lou Manfredini.
Hi, Lou.
Don't we like to sing that song?
I think you're okay.
Lou Manfredini. Okay.
And the Mr. Fix-It Show.
This is a little brass stripping brush.
Okay. Yeah.
If you need a little bit more aggressive.
I like the copper choir boy.
Chore boy.
So, whatever.
Here he is now on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Well, no one told me about her, the way she lied. Well, no one told me about.
Welcome back. Lou Manfredini here with you. The Mr. Fix-It Show.
But it's too late to say.
You know, I like to fix things. I like to work on things. I like to tinker. I like to make things. I didn't even tell you. Well, I told you this, but I haven't told. We went out to, I've talked to you about my buddy Mike, who's a teacher, industrial arts teacher out at Hampshire High School. He's awesome. Which last night we were out to dinner with you and your lovely husband, handsome husband. He's also met Mike before.
I'm starting to worry about you.
Right. Well, but I think he has a man crush on Mike too. David.
What's up?
He has a man crush on Mike too.
He does.
Yeah.
Who doesn't?
But it's a whole Wisconsin thing, right? David's from Green Bay. Mike's from Okano. You know, there's a whole kindred spirit. But we went and did a House Smarts feature story on the industrial arts program that's out at Hampshire High School, coming up on a future House Smarts. And first of all, I'm super proud of Mike and of what he's doing. He's so happy. But the amount of equipment and stuff that they have at the school for these kids to learn on is amazing. And the program that they have out there is really something else. So the whole idea is that, there's such great satisfaction when you make stuff, right? I mean, I just think it's awesome when you create and you make stuff. So there's this whole big movement. Joining me on the phone line right now is John O'Halloran and Paul Heitman to talk about the makerspace that they're trying to open up in the Northwest suburbs. John and Paul, good morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
How are you guys?
Real well.
Great. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, John, I'll start with you. Tell me what a makerspace is.
Well, it's kind of like a community center with tools. It's someplace that people have outgrown their basements, they've outgrown their garages, can come and have access to equipment, access to other people, to make things, to invent things, to fabricate things, to tinker. It's a great concept on the West Coast, big on the East Coast, and growing in the Midwest and the Chicago area.
Paul, this makerspace concept, is it something that you become a member of? Is it like a free-to-use thing? Is it like, I'm a guy, man, I got this bandsaw that's sitting in my basement. I never get to use it. I'm going to give him my bandsaw.
Right. It's a lot like a gym where you have a membership and then you gain access to use all the different tools. We also have plans to have a day pass access, so you don't have to sign up monthly. So you might just go in for a few days to execute a particular project.
Hey, Lindsay, what is it that you send your girls to when you put them in things when you're working?
TikTok.
So this could be like a daycare center for people that want to tinker. honey, I'm dropping you off at the tinker spot so you can go make something. Tinker talk.
Yep.
Okay, so this is what I'm imagining. You got this big space, and you're not necessarily, John, in other words, it's not focused on just one thing. It's not just woodworking. If somebody wants to be if they want to paint or do something like on a canvas, or they want to do clay, make clay pots, it can be anything.
Yeah, they're very organic. They reflect what the community is interested in. There are certain programs that most of them have, electronics, workshops, metal shops, prototyping type activities. But if the community had a strong interest in painting or clay or something like that, mm-hmm. then being a community-based organization, we would try to accommodate that kind of activity.
Now, I'm just curious about the safety part of it, okay? So in other words, is it the type of thing, Paul, that if I'm a guy, okay, so my example, if I got this bandsaw in my garage that I don't use, you guys want it? Is that something you're going to take?
Yeah, we would take a look at all donations, see if it's a good fit for the shop. And typically with makerspaces, there'll be some kind of a sign-off course, a short course where we just want to make sure people have a basic level of understanding on how to use a piece of equipment.
Right, so you're just not going to turn somebody loose and say, here's a bandsaw, good luck.
Yeah, we wouldn't do that.
Gotcha. And tell me a little bit about the background of the two of you. Is this something, are you guys tradesmen? Are you just community organizers? What's your backstory on trying to create this whole thing?
So this is Paul. I'm with Heitman Architects in the suburbs. We do commercial industrial architecture. We're involved with a lot of manufacturing companies. A lot of those companies would like to have access to a space like this to do research and development. We also got involved with a similar space for a group called Rev3 out of DuPage, and Rev3 is an incubator, but it also in early planning stages had a makerspace component. So we've been exposed to the makerspace and the movement for a while here professionally. But then I also have two kids who are getting active in robotics and coding and whatnot, so a space like this really serves their purposes as well.
What about you, John?
I'm a retired ComEd employee, worked with commercial industrial customers, many manufacturers, and, you know, talking to them, found out how hard they were finding people, how hard it was for them to find employees to backfill positions when people were retiring or leaving.
Oh, yeah.
And our expectation would be we would be introducing young people to making things, fixing things, and perhaps some of them would follow into the manufacturing field.
I like that. Well, I just mentioned, you know, before we started talking to you about the story we did out at, you know, a lot of high schools now are kind of reinvesting money and resources into, you know, industrial arts, because you're right. That's a big issue, John, is that there's not, you know, not everybody's going to go to college, and we need technicians and we need tradespeople, but there's just no real training program for them to learn this stuff.
And one of our biggest sponsors to date has been GCAMP, the Golden Corridor Advanced Manufacturing Partnership in Schaumburg. And one of our steering committee members is very active with them. And they've given us grants and encouragement to, you know, introduce those young people to the manufacturing field and hopefully fill some of those positions in the future.
Where now have you guys, do you have a spot selected, or are you still looking for that, Paul?
Yeah, we're looking at a couple of different spots. In the interim, we've been teaching classes at the local libraries and schools in electronics and coding and programming. But we're actively pursuing spaces around Elk Grove, Schaumburg, and Hoffman Estates. We've also looked at Rolling Meadows. So those three villages have been very active in our group as well. They have also the same interest as trying to close the skills gap and handle workforce shortages. They're also looking at economic development and having a space for entrepreneurs to do prototyping and build a business.
I love that. I love that idea. So what are your next steps? I mean, what are you trying to do in the next, 60 to 90 days?
Yeah, in the next 60 to 90 days, we're trying to secure space. We're looking for about 5,000 to 10,000 square feet initially. So we're talking to manufacturers, different companies that may have small vacancies within their facilities. So that's on the short course right now. On the urgent track is to find a space.
Right.
We're still actively pursuing teaching classes, and we also have a Maker Day, I should let everybody know, tomorrow, Sunday, Earth Day at Elk Grove Village Library, where we'll have different exhibitors, people that make things. Some companies, manufacturers in the area will also be there.
One last question. John, when this thing gets up and running and you have a space, you both talked about it would be like a membership type of thing where you'd become a member of this. Any idea of what those kinds of costs would be?
We really haven't nailed down a final cost. It would be nominal. We're a not-for-profit, so we're not, looking to, gouge the market.
It's not $1,000 a month. It's not something like that.
No. It would be more like a gym membership, maybe $30 to $50 a month.
Are you going to lock them into the contract that they can never quit it like they do with the gym memberships, like you're a member for life?
No, we wouldn't do that, especially with makerspaces. They're really, a lot of people will come in for a project and then maybe leave and then come back, when they have something else that they want to build.
Right.
And what about a continuous project? Like, can you store, if you're making a wood working something.
Well, if you're making if you're all of a sudden you want to make, I'm going to make a chest of drawers. Obviously, I can't do that on a Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, most makerspaces provide storage, and we have that in our program. And sometimes the storage space might come with a rent cost associated with it.
Okay. So here's what I want you to do. When you get this thing off the ground and you have that space going, I want you to stay in contact with us because I think it's a great concept. I'd love to help you promote it if we can, once you're up and running, and because we need to do more of this and get people tinkering and learning how to make stuff because it's just good for everybody.
Agreed. Thanks for the opportunity. Thank you.
John O'Halloran and Paul Heitman, they're both part of the steering committee that's putting together a makerspace and looking for a location in the Northwest suburbs. So if you're if you got some empty space and you don't know what to do with it, it's a great way for you to donate the space to them so they don't have to pay for it, and then take the tax deduction and you'll be helping America along the way. How about who doesn't want to help America? For crying out loud. 8:50 in the morning. We'll be right back.
Hi, Mike Emmerich from the NHL on NBC. Got a problem involving a home? One guy's got the answer. He's Lou Manfredini. Were you listening when I was to learn that raccoons in the attic can be solved by LED lights? It's always something. Mr. Fix-It every Saturday, 7 to 10 a.m. on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Maybe that's what we should have done with the Blackhawks. I should have shined a LED light on them, and they could have not been eliminated in four games.
You could have had me put raccoons in the Predators' locker room.
Or that. Too. Right, even better. Thanks, Doc. 8:54 in the morning. Lou Manfredini here with you. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Teresa called in. Hi, Teresa.
Hi there, Lou. Thanks for taking my call.
How can I help you?
The gutters in my house and all the corners are all leaking. I don't know if I have to replace them all, or can I just repair only the corners?
Are the gutters in good repair? In other words, when you're looking at your gutters, do they look nice?
They look okay. I mean, in the front looks like it's a little bit, I'm going to say, down a little bit.
Yeah.
And I only have the small downspouts, so not the big downspouts. They're small ones.
Okay. And who's going to do this work? You're going to hire somebody?
I don't know. That's my whole problem.
Right. So you're going to you're not going to get out there and fix it.
No, I don't think it's such a good idea.
No. Okay. So you can absolutely fix the corners. There's a bunch of different products, and professionals can come out and redo this. They'll clean it all up. They'll get it nice and dry. They can either use a product called Leak Seal or Leak Tight, or they can use a Gutter Seal product, which right in those corners to fix. And, you know, again, if the gutters are in good repair, it can be fixed.
Oh, you're in... I'm sorry. My nephew did go up there a couple of years ago and put some spray in there, and it didn't work.
Yeah. Well, the spray works if you prep it right.
Oh.
So the whole thing, it's got to be super clean. You got to have the right stuff, and you have to really apply it properly. It does mm-hmm. work, but it has to be prepped correctly. So, I mean, are you going to ask a family member to do this again?
No.
Single story, two story?
It's a single story.
Okay. You know, this is something you could call a couple different people. Either Rogers okay. Roofing.
Okay, I'm writing this down. Rogers Roofing.
And or Lindholm Roofing. And call okay. them, tell them what you have. They've got repair techs out there. It might take a little bit to get them out there, but either one of those folks should be able to help you out.
Okay, one is Rogers Roofing.
Rogers
the other is Lindholm Roofing.
Lindholm.
I'm sorry?
Lind, like Lind, like do the Lindy. Have you ever danced the Lindy?
Okay.
Holm.
Okay.
Holm. H-O-L-M. Lind. Holm.
Okay, I'm sorry. I have a hearing problem.
No problem.
W-I-N-D-H-O-L-M.
Correct.
Okay, got it. I heard window, would you believe?
No problem. Okay. No problem.
Okay, Lindholm Roofing Company or Rogers Roofing.
Correct.
Okay, thank you so much, Lou. I do appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure. Have a great day. I appreciate you calling this morning. It is 8:57 in the morning. We'll be right back. This is Ellie in Skokie. Ellie, you're on WGN. Good morning.
You're listening to the Mr. Fix-It Show.
I've got a lot of questions. Eventually, we're going to sell the house. Not while my husband is still here, because he'll stay here forever. He won't empty out the basement.
With Lou Manfredini.
But I'm planning ahead.
Wait, are you listening to what you just said?
On Chicago's very own.
Right. Okay. I mean, in the world.
720 WGN.
She can say in her voice, in her way, that she loves me.
Welcome back, 9:10 in the morning.
With her eyes, with her smile, with
Lou
her
Manfredini
with her
here with you.
With her money. I am the thesis of her prayers.
This hour, the Mr. Fix-It Show is sponsored by Ace Hardware and by ChevyDriveChicago.com and our friends at PermaSeal Basement Systems. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. But we were down in Florida for the Easter break. Had a nice time. We had the entire Manfredini family together, which, as you all know, and you're kids get older and they go and do their own lives. And, you know, our oldest is working. He's off the payroll. And Carmen's in college. And Mal's a senior in high school. And Max is a sophomore in high school. Getting your whole family together for holidays is one of the life's great treasures. And so we figured out how to get everybody down in Florida. We had a lovely time. And then because Quinn was working and Carmen had to get back to school, it was just the four of us. And it was a rainy day. And we're like, not a rainy day, but it was just like a cloudy day. And we thought, what are we going to do this afternoon after we dropped the two older ones off at the airport to go back to their lives? We found a movie theater and we went to go see Tommy's Honor. Now, this is the movie I was talking to you about months ago that we've talked a little bit of this story about the fact that Lindsay's father, who is an endodontist, this is part of the story. Because whenever I tell anybody about this, I'm like, oh, my gosh, have you gone to see this movie, Tommy's Honor? It's a great movie. And I remember when I first talked to her father about this, you know, he's like, oh, it's a movie. It's a golf movie. And it's not a golf movie. It's a love story. And golf's the background. It's a really good movie. My wife and I both enjoyed it. I'm the last guy that would ever go see any movie about golf. Okay. I can count on these three fingers how many times I've played golf in my life. Okay. So we go and we see this movie, and here's Mallory, my almost 18-year-old daughter, who throughout the movie is asking, what about this? What do you think he's doing there? She loved the movie. She's almost 18 years old. And in the theater we were in, there's probably about 25, 30 people in this theater, And there was a woman and sitting next to me, directly next to me, and a guy. And she was, like, making commentary back and forth to her partner, spouse, whatever. And at the end of the movie, I'm like, how'd you like the movie? She goes, I love the movie. I go, I know the producer.
No, you didn't.
Uh-huh. She goes, yeah. I go, he's an entodontist. And she goes, what's that? And she goes, I go, the guy that gives you the root canal. Which, when last night when we had dinner and I told the story with your husband, he goes, people would rather have their car towed than go get a root canal. That's a great analogy. That's great. Your father's an entodontist, and he produced this terrific movie that everybody should go see. Is it? Can you go see it in Chicago?
Yes.
What theaters is it at?
It is.
And I think I secured an interview with John Williams for your father. I don't know if I carry that much weight, but maybe, perhaps.
Yeah, we'll see. Oh, my gosh. My dad loves you. We love you. It's playing at AMC Oakbrook Center at AMC Northbrook Court and Regal Lincolnshire Stadium.
Lincolnshire, Oakbrook, and Northbrook. I'm telling you, right now.
It is good.
It's a good movie. And not that I'm doing, like, movie reviews, but I've seen it. I liked it so much I saw it twice.
I know. You
got right?
The best. Thank
it
you.
Was great. So go see
We're
it.
We're proud of him.
The guy that it was directed by Sean Connery's son.
Mm-hmm.
Did you meet him?
Jason. Yeah, a couple times.
Is he a handsome fellow like
his
dad?
He's very good looking.
Yeah? Is he tall like his father? His father's tall.
Yes. Well, there's a funny joke with him when, you know, he's from Scotland, obviously, and mm-hmm. when they greet you, you know, they do the double cheek kiss. And so there's this running joke when... Like,
in Scotland, that's what they do?
Well, you know, just like that's like a European thing.
Okay.
When you, oh, hi, instead of kissing on one side of the cheek,
that's
you kiss
funny.
On both
I would not, I would not equate that with Scotland.
Like, well, I mean,
Italy
like
or Spain.
Okay. Well, they
ahead.
Do it.
Go ahead.
And I don't do that. We don't do that. And so there's a funny joke
you don't
between
like kissing
all
people
of
on
us.
The cheek?
Well, not like the double cheek. So like I went in for the one side and then he went in for like the double and like we like...
And you ended up kissing on the lips.
Yeah.
Did you really?
Yes. So now that's the funny thing with all of us is like, oh,
you
I made out with Sean Connery's son.
Well, that didn't mean it. There you go.
I'm kidding, but I mean, that's just.
And how
funny.
Old of a man is he?
I don't know, maybe late
40?
40s.
Yeah?
Yeah, he's a super nice guy.
Nice. Well, the movie is Tommy's Honor, and I definitely want you to put it on your list. I know you're going to like it. And then when you like it, text us next week and tell me that you like it. And if you didn't like it, I don't want to hear from you. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Let's get back to the phone lines right now. Here is Gene in Hebron. Hey, Gene, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning.
How can I help you?
I bought a secondhand gas stove, and it was owned by a bachelor. He never cooked. So the burners are like new, but the oven, he must have made a lot of frozen pizzas. Because before I turn on the self-cleaning feature, I have to clean the inside of the glass door.
Okay.
I've tried everything. And, I mean, he probably used high heat, lots of spillovers. I can't get up clean before I, you know, turn on the...
Is it the type of thing that you can... scrape with your fingernail?
No, and I used Barkeeper's Friend.
Right.
So it wouldn't scratch. I tried some ammonia.
Right.
They say not to use oven cleaner.
Yeah, that can etch the glass. Here's what I would try at this point is, you know how you can buy the razor scrapers?
Mm-hmm.
For like if you were taking tape off of a window?
Sure.
With a single side bladed razor blade? Try that.
Really?
And try and scrape away what's there. Now, it could be, depending on what was cooked there over time, that the excessive heat or whatever it is used did etch the glass, which is why you can't get it clean.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's the case, I mean, that glass can be replaced.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that door...
you can still see through it.
Oh, well,
front, but
yeah. But try the razor blade, straight razor blade, no cleaner, no nothing. Just work a little bit and start to scrape away and see if you can clean it up. If that doesn't do it, then your only alternative is to live with it or replace the glass.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
You got it, Gene. I appreciate you calling this morning. This is Tom. Hey, Tom, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning. morning, Lou. How are you?
I'm good, sir. How can I help you?
Good. The question we have, sir, is this, that we have oak cabinets in our kitchen, and we want to do a refinishing on them. And as it now stands, they have the grain is showing in the on the cabinetry. And is it better to stain or paint? And what we basically want to do is arrive at a grayish white color with the grain showing. So we want to go from this kind of a neutral tan brown color to a grayish white. And I didn't know if there was any special paint to be used to do that.
Yeah, you know what? You know what's really a terrific? If you're going for that color, and that whole painted cabinet look is so cool looking. I've seen it in a lot of different magazine layouts and stuff online and Pinterest and places like that. Have you ever heard of Amy Howard's chalk base paint?
Amy Howard chalk based paint. Okay.
All right. So this woman, Amy Howard, I've had the pleasure of meeting this lady, created this whole line of this chalk-based paint. And it is the bee's knees when it comes to doing projects like you're talking about here.
Wow.
It's available at many Ace Hardware stores. So if you got an Ace Hardware store near you, you can buy it there. And at independent retailers as well. But if you go to her website, LindsayAmyHoward.com maybe, you'll see all these different projects, and she does a bunch of how-to videos. She is this lovely Southern woman with a beautiful accent and really knows her stuff.
Okay.
The website is amyhowardhome.com.
Okay.
And as I mentioned, many Ace Hardware stores carry this, and I had the chance to go to a little training thing. She's based out of Memphis, Tennessee. And I got to use some of the products, and it's really easy to use, and you can do a lot of really cool stuff with this line.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we certainly appreciate it.
You got it. Have a great day, Tom. I appreciate you calling this morning. Let's talk to Joanne in Joliet. Hi, Joanne.
Hi, Lou. I have a cabinet question also.
All right.
We have cherry cabinets, which my husband built several years ago. And we used Howard Restore Finish on them because they were getting dull.
Mm-hmm.
They looked great. I love the product. But how do I clean them? I used Bona Cabinet Cleaner yesterday, and they're just dull again.
Go back at it with the Howards. When's the last time you did the Howards?
About a month ago.
Oh, well, okay. So, you know, you probably had some residual... you want a little shine to them, right?
Right. And I'm thinking, you know, daily cleaning or every few days, especially around the stove.
Yeah. So here's the thing. When you use that Howard's, you're actually taking a little bit of the finish off.
Right.
And if you took a little more of the finish off, then the problem is you expose more of the grain, and it's problematic to clean. So you probably need to put something over the top of that to keep that shine. Rejuvenate makes a cabinet refinisher that will put the sheen on that you just wipe on. And I have to tell you, the results are amazing.
Okay.
Follow the instructions on the bottle. Go to your local Ace. They'll sell it. And put this over the top of the cabinets. You're going to be amazed at the results. And it's durable. And it's a low VOC product, so it's not anything. I mean, you want to keep the windows open when you're doing it, but it's a low VOC product. It's not going to be, like, overwhelming when you're putting it on, and it's going to really look nice. Thanks so much for the phone call. 9:22 in the morning. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Lou Manfredini on the Mr. Fix-It Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Now when you're feeling low and the fish won't bite.
312-981-7200. Barry's in Summit. Hi, Barry. You're on WGN.
Good morning, Lou.
How are you?
Well, this is a bit off your track this morning, but I've got infestation of wild onion, and I can't be digging it out because it'll take me days. So.
Right.
Got any advice on that?
It's funny. I just had this conversation with somebody about the wild onions. Every time you cut the lawn, it smells like onions, right?
Well, I haven't cut it yet because I was thinking about spraying it first, and plus I have some spots where I got seed coming up. But I get squirrels because I had oak trees, and they just constantly dig, and I think they're helping spread them all around, everywhere. And, of course, the grass isn't growing, and the onions are like 8 inches high already.
Right. Okay. It's a really tough product.
They're all over the place.
Right. It's tough to kill. So you said you already seeded some places?
Yeah, I got like a 15-foot square spot that's seeded, and it's just coming up now, a few days. And
all right. So there is a brand new product that Roundup has created called Roundup for Lawns. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I can't believe they named it Roundup, but they did, because it's just going to confuse people, because everybody knows that Roundup is a total kill chemical, okay? But this one is designed to go in your lawns and not kill your lawn, but kill the weeds. But this is a spot treatment, right?
Right.
So you're going to take this sprayer, and they make a bigger pump sprayer that you can, they even have one that's battery operated if you want. You're going to go over every one of those bulbs where you got the onions. It's actually nice that they're tall.
Right.
And squirt every single one.
Okay, sounds good, Lou.
And then it's not supposed to kill your... I've not used this product. I've only talked to the Scotts people about it. But it's specifically designed for use on lawns. And it's supposed to kill the weeds and not cause you any kind of problems. So try that out and see what happens.
Will do. Thanks, Lou.
All right. I appreciate you calling this morning. It's 9:28 in the morning.
And we call it a phone, but we don't really use it much as a phone, do we? No, we don't.
Time for Just Text Me.
Who wants to talk? Oh, my God, I got to talk? Talking is work. You got to make facial expressions. You got to suck air in. You got to blow it out.
By the way, when we were on our Easter vacation, we went to Universal Studios and got to ride that new Jimmy Fallon Race Through New York ride, which I guess just opened a week ago or weeks ago, like brand new. They built a replica of 30 Rock there.
Really?
And the attention, I spend a lot of time at 30 Rock when I go do stuff for NBC. The replication is unbelievable how much it looks like the building, especially when you're walking through. And they have all the history of the Tonight Show and all the different hosts, and all the people that work on that ride are dressed like NBC pages, the exact same uniform. And the ride is one of those, virtual reality. You know, you put on these glasses and you're sitting. It's unbelievable how fun it is.
So you just sit in the chair and put these glasses on.
You sit in this, like these, but it moves around.
Right.
But it doesn't really move around. It like goes up and down. But then when you have these glasses on, you look at this giant screen. You think you're racing through the city
like
of New York.
Is it like Jimmy's in front of you, like talking to you?
You're racing him, so he's like in a car.
Oh.
So it's
cool.
Like you're, yeah, it was really fun.
Did you enjoy City Walk?
I did. I said to you off the air, I think that, I guess that whole City Walk area you can go to and not go into the park.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's open to the public. You don't need a ticket to get in there.
And I mean, there's all kinds of cool restaurants, and there's a really cool, I mean, there were just people everywhere walking around. And that whole Harry Potter thing when we went to the Universal is really well done. And it was fun. It was a lot of fun. All right. Do you have Just Text Me?
I do. 708. Can spar varnish be put on a butcher block to seal and preserve it?
No.
Nope.
You can't because you're going to cut on it. So the whole idea behind the biggest thing with a butcher block is the fact that when you wash it and you put water on it, you start to, and the wood absorbs the water, it dries out. And then that drying out causes the wood to expand and contract, and it eventually will separate from the glued portion. So the trick is this. If you've used a butcher block and it's looking a little worn down, in a perfect world, you have a belt sander, which, you know, is a substantial tool. If you have one of those maker spaces, maybe you could borrow one.
Yeah.
But you'll sand the whole thing down. And then on a weekly basis, you take mineral oil on a little rag and you just wipe it down and let it get absorbed into the wood. That'll preserve the wood, keep the moisture in it, that even when you wipe it away, a little bit of that residual mineral oil is in there. And that's what I would do.
Okay, good. Me too, then.
Yeah.
I'm sure this lady too.
Mm-hmm.
847, what causes pipes to whistle and squeak after flushing and running water? Is there a way to fix this?
Flushing or running. Well, if it's in the toilet and you're noticing that you're getting some whistling as it fills, more than likely you've got some sediment in the fill valve that's causing the whistling. You could either replace that, or the trick that I've given people is turn the water off to the toilet all the way and then just turn the water on a quarter turn. Slow down the amount of pressure and volume of water coming into it. It'll take a little longer for the toilet to fill, but I bet the whistling is gone.
Okay. This one just came in that I have to read it. Lindsay's father is Dr. Kreitzer. A root canal is a piece of cake. I was a patient of Dr. Kreitzer's in December, and I would have rather have a root canal than a deep teeth cleaning. Really?
Really?
Anne from Racine.
But did Anne go see the movie?
She just is texting me now that she did, and she loved it.
Thank you, Anne.
All right.
I told you, I've said my root canal story, right? Where I had to have a root canal years ago.
Oh, and then pain, but the medication wasn't fully kicked in?
No. And then when I went to the desk and she said, how are you feeling? I go, I feel pretty good. She goes, this is going to hurt. It'll be $1,200.
I do. 630, can an old Trex deck be stained? And if so, what type of product?
You cannot stain a synthetic deck. You can clean it up. But you know what works really well on Trex is Concrobium Mold Stain Eraser. It comes in a giant pill bottle. This is a terrific product, but you have to be very careful using it, because when you mix this with hot water, it says you can use it in a pump sprayer. I don't necessarily know that I would do that, because it creates a chemical reaction, so it expands. So here's what I would do on your Trex deck. I'd get a 5-gallon bucket. I would put 3 gallons of hot water in that bucket. I would pour 3 bottles of the Concrobium Mold Stain Eraser in the bucket. Mm-hmm. Mix it for about 10 minutes, mm-hmm, and let it sit, and then take a mop.
Oh.
Put a mop in the bucket and mop the deck. Work your way off, mop the deck. In 2 hours, you're going to be amazed. You can do this on a wood deck, too. It's great.
I like it when you say that. You're going to be amazed at the results.
Amazed. What's the word I like to use? What's the thing I like to use?
Percolate.
Percolate. It's going to percolate. It is going to percolate in the water. It's like a witch's brew. It's so cool.
Last question. What do I use to sharpen my garden tools?
Sharpening stone.
Oh.
You can buy a sharpening
knife block that we featured a couple weeks ago. Nope, that won't work.
I love that thing.
Do you?
Oh, my gosh. It's when you pull it out, I feel like I'm in Game of Thrones and I've never even seen the show. You can buy a sharpening stone. Or if you have a lot of garden tools... If you have a Dremel, you can get a Dremel. They have a sharpening bit. Or if you just put, they have a little barrel wheel that you can put on the end of a Dremel. Hold that in place. I think I even did a fix it in 15 minutes on House Smarts using a Dremel tool. It makes quick work of it. Just make sure you wear eye protection, because you'll get some sparks flying. But that's really the fastest way and the best way to sharpen garden tools.
Great. That's this week's. Just text me.
All right, 9:44 in the morning. Lou Manfredini here with you. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Here's Peggy in Chicago. Hi, Peggy. You're on WGN. Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
How can I help you?
I had a question for you regarding radiators. I think like over a year ago on your show, you suggested a place where to bring it to get sandblasted and painted if you wanted to refinish them.
You have a radiator.
Actually, my bathroom years ago, it wasn't us. Someone took the radiator out, but the pipes were still there. And we're redoing our bathroom, and I want to reinstall a radiator. So I got a radiator. It's an older one, and I want to have it black, and it's silver. So you just paint it, but I thought I remembered you talking about this.
No, I mean, radiator you can put. Okay, so where is this radiator now?
Well, it's in my garage.
Okay, perfect. So are you going to paint it first?
Before it's installed, yeah.
Yeah, so the silver that you have, what I want you to do is take a wire brush.
Okay.
Okay, and scrape as much of that silver. You don't have to scrape it off, but I want to get the sheen off of it. So I want it to almost be a little rough. Then take a little sandpaper, or actually what works great is a sanding sponge, and just smooth it out a little bit. Like if there's any, you know, ridges or anything like that, anything loose there. Then if you want it black, just paint it black with buy a quart of Rust-Oleum paint.
Okay.
And paint it black.
Okay.
That's it.
Just any Rust-Oleum black paint would
yep.
be fine.
And then, you know, it'll be an oil base. And so paint it in the garage. And then, you know, you may have to touch it up once it gets put in place because it's heavy. But it should work out just fine.
Would you recommend spray paint or no?
No, I'd do it with a brush.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Peggy. I appreciate your calling this morning. You know what? Timing is everything. Right now, you can find your tag and get 16% below MSRP on the 2017 Chevy Equinox. That's $4,797 worth of saving. When it comes to great deals, your local Chevy dealer, they've got the perfect car, truck, or crossover. Chevy Equinox, it's a great place to start looking with room for five and the family dog, plus 31 miles per gallon on the highway. Equinox has you covered coming and going, not to mention 4G LTE Wi-Fi that turns your Equinox into a mobile hotspot for up to 7 devices, streaming music, cell phones, tablets. It's all available to keep everyone entertained while you drive. Now is the perfect time to check out a new Chevy Equinox. Find your tag and get 16% below MSRP on a 2017 Equinox LT four-wheel drive. That's $4,797 worth of savings. Timing is everything. So head to your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer, or go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for all the details. Only until May 1st. That's your ticket to big savings. That's ChevyDriveChicago.com. 9:50 in the morning, 312-981-7200 is our phone number. This is Peter in Hoffman Estates. Peter, you're on WGN. Good morning.
What do you say? What do you know, Lou?
I don't know much.
Oh, yes, you do.
How can I help you?
I wanted to ask you two things about ejector pumps. I was hoping you could explain their function to me. But specifically, my ejector pump has a little backfire when it's done with its cycle. It sounds like maybe an air bubble or something. Kind of like the way an engine in a car might backfire, but it's not as intense. And I was wondering if you had a remedy for that.
Okay, so it's an ejector pit that services what? You have a basement bathroom, or is it a laundry? What goes into it?
It just seems to service everything, okay?
On the lower level?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Okay, and so it fires, and then it has like a little hiccup?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, and do we know the age of this pump?
About 13 years.
Yeah, I mean, it could be a bunch of different things. You know, the ejector pit, because it deals with solids, the intake on the pump itself could need to be cleaned, that the, you know, there's like a screen that takes in all the waste and everything through there, that over time that can become clogged, and so there's not enough there's not enough intake for it to operate properly. The fact that it's a 13-year-old pump,
uh-huh.
at this point, I would replace the pump.
Okay.
Because, I mean, the average life of an ejector or a sump pump pit, and in particular, if you're telling me that it's something that works so much, you know, that it services everything, 7 years is kind of the, I need a new pump.
Okay.
So you're almost double the length of time.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of the tried and true pump out there is Zoeller, and they make really good ejector pumps, and cast iron. They're heavy duty. They're not cheap. You know, if you're going to do this yourself, it's a $350 pump, but you know, you want something you can count on, and that brand will certainly do the trick. Appreciate the phone call. It's 9:52 in the morning. We'll take a quick break and be right back.
Happy trails to you.
Time for Lou's Last Call, sponsored by Townstone Financial. And thank you so much for listening. Thanks, Veronica, on the news, and Sam on the sports. Sam's going to, you're being nominated for, what's the award you're going down to? What'd you get nominated for?
Best sports story on my brother, who's trying to pitch professionally with the White Sox. And the award ceremony's in Urbana tonight at
And so
6:30.
You don't know if you won or not.
No, finalist, though.
You're a finalist. So we're going to wish you luck. We'll send you positive juju.
I'm bringing the trophy home, baby.
Yeah,
I'm bringing it back.
Sam is already a winner in our book.
Absolutely. Jason's in Yorkville. Jason, how can I help you this morning?
Good morning, Lou. How are you?
I'm good.
I am having my roof replaced, and I'm wanting to put in an electric attic vent, power vent, to replace the natural airflow. Do I need to remove all of my mushroom vents that are on the roof now?
No.
Okay.
You want this for the summer, or are you having a humidity problem up there?
No, summer and trying to keep the load off the house. It's a ranch, so it's a big attic, a lot of hot air.
You know,
to lower a lot of
roofing contractors will say, well, you don't need those mushroom vents if you have the fan, and you know, you're going to defeat the purpose of the fan. That is a bunch of malarkey. There's no such thing as too much ventilation in attic space. So keep the mushroom vents, put the fan in, have it set up on a thermostat. Kind of a good setting is 90 degrees, and the biggest thing with those fans is they run a lot, and so you have to. Will you have access to the attic?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Every now and then, go up there and check and make sure that fan is working. You know, on an annual basis, because you know, 3-4 years down the road, that motor may go, and you don't even know if it's running. Because they're so quiet. So a couple of the different brands to consider, you know, the roofer will typically supply those. Dayton is one that makes good fans, and Brone also is another one that makes really good attic fans. And they just run and run and run, and they do a nice job. Keep the mushroom vents. If you want to, depending on the roof style, if you want to go with a continuous ridge vent, you could do that as well.
And that's not going to just pull air directly from my ridge vents and not bring air in, fresh air. It's not going to.
It will pull some air from there, but it'll pull some air from everywhere, too. It'll create a draft. It'll come. Don't worry.
Okay. All right. I appreciate it. Thank you, Lou.
You got it. I appreciate you calling this morning as well. And thank you all for listening this morning. Coming up after this newscast is John Williams, who I believe is standing by downstairs.
No, I'm not standing by. I'm sitting.
Sitting? Oh, okay. How are you?
I'm really good, Lou. Thanks for all your help today. And I don't mean that for me personally. I just mean that on behalf of listeners throughout Chicagoland.
You're so nice.
But you also gave me some personal advice, which I know will be shocking to your listeners.
I know. But I hear you're getting close.
Yeah. You know, Lou, this whole business of buying and selling and moving is about as stressful a thing as a person in their 50s can take.
It's funny how our patience and the novelty and the like the excitement that we had when we were 25 versus now.
It's like it's
really?
The same reason that you have kids when you're young.
Right.
You go, wow, I've got the energy. I don't mind being at a 45-degree angle a lot. And then you get to 50 and you go, that's kind of cool, but I'm also kind of good. I'm not there right now.
I know.
So we got a lot of ground to cover, and we're ready to roll here.
You got it. Have a good one.
Thank you, Mr. Fix-It. Okay, now you do the thing.
This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com.